Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we explore our own dimension and other dimensions at the same time. Join me as we do everything at the same time. At the same time every week, at the same time. Everything happening all at once, not in order, all at once. A mosaic, a picture in time. This can't be right.
Keep going.
This can't be right.
It's right.
Okay, this can't be right.
It's right. Just continue on.
But this can't be right.
Just stay on the road.
But there's no road anymore.
This is the way.
It can't be right.
These are the directions.
I believe you that these are the directions. I'm just saying, this can't be right.
Continue forward.
There's literally a wall now in front of us.
Continue on in a quarter mile, turn right on Mile Way.
This can't be right.
Go through the wall. It must not be an actual wall, or the onboard navigator would have said so.
It's weird how you trust the directions and not your own eyes.
My eyes are fine, and I trust them fine because I can always find the magic eye illusion in the paper before you can.
If I cross my eyes and look off into the near distance, will I see an actual road?
Just drive.
Okay, here goes. And we're moving.
Of course.
How did the wall not stop us?
Nothing can stop us. We have directions.
Take the next right onto Mayo Way.
I don't see a right.
Count to three and turn.
Okay. One, two, three, turn.
Continue on Mayo Way for 3 miles.
But there's no road here. It's just clouds. This can't be right.
Not everything that leads somewhere is a road, and not all roads lead somewhere.
Which kind is this?
Leads somewhere, but it's not a road. Go faster.
I can't tell how fast I'm going since there's no road or anything. The speedometer isn't working.
What?
The speedometer.
Speedometer.
What? Are you from England?
No, that's how you say it.
But there's only one D. You're saying speedometer.
I'm saying speedometer.
Nope, it's pronounced like thermometer or van meter.
Just go.
This can't be right.
And yet, it's getting us there.
How do we know?
We aren't where we were.
True, but are we where we are going?
Always.
I mean, are we going where we plan?
You can't always go where you plan.
Yeah, why again?
Too many variables. People expect to go where they plan, even though there's a lot of unknowable occurrences that might prevent that.
How do people get anywhere?
You can't not get somewhere. It's just not always where you want to go. Slow down. I'm looking for a sign.
A sign that says a street on it?
No, like a miraculous sign. Like maybe lightning or a glowing orb. Sometimes a glowing orb will guide you to your destination.
In a half mile, turn left at the glowing orb.
Okay, good.
How is this car even drivable when there's no road? How do I turn left?
Stop overthinking. When you see the orb, make some effort to turn left. Doesn't matter if it's successful or not. I mean, what else are you gonna do?
Turn left now.
There's the orb. I thought it would be blue, but it's pink.
It's coral.
Anyway, this can't be right.
There is no right.
Is it wrong?
It might be wrong, true.
How do we know?
Well, when we get there, we'll ask where we are, and if they don't know, we messed up.
Then what?
We retrace our steps and try again.
Welcome to the Hotel Hilbert.
Welcome.
Hello, I have a reservation for Dr. Baruch Spinoza.
Doctor?
Shut up.
Yes, how many guests?
I'm the only guest, and also we'll need a place for this individual to sleep.
Butchie, I thought you made a reservation for both of us.
Nah, I have a reservation here for 2 guests.
Yeah, I do that so I'll have extra space. If you say it's just 1 person, they put you in a smaller room.
Where did you think I was gonna stay?
I thought you'd make your own reservation. Do you have any other rooms available?
No, I'm sorry. Mr. Spinoza's is our last available room.
Ah, oh, that's tough. Car's comfortable, though, thank God.
Butch!
Okay, but you have to sleep on the floor.
Okay, thanks. So I can stay in your room?
Of course, you always could. But now you've agreed to sleep on the floor, so I get the king-size bed for myself.
I would have let you have it if you just asked. You didn't have to go through all that.
All right, you drive.
What room are we in?
You are in whatever room you end up going to, minus one. So let's say you get off the elevator and walk to room 212, you are in 211. It works out. I don't know how it works. It came from corporate. Ensures privacy.
We don't need privacy.
Well, I kind of do. I like to get changed in private.
Nobody cares about seeing your grotesque physicality.
Is there a Lewis register here?
I'm he. Me is he.
There's a telegram for you.
Oh, cool. Beam it in.
Hello, Lou.
Hello, Grandma.
I hear you two are in the neighborhood.
Well, we're just here on business. Butchie has to give a talk on predetermination.
That's a misnomer.
He thinks so.
Will you two be available for lunch at all?
Butch?
For you, High Priestess, anything.
Oh, you're a bit of a sycophant when you're confronted with power.
No, I'd kick up if I thought my kick would connect. I genuinely like you, Grandma.
I know, Butchie. I was just smushing your grapes.
Yikes.
Okay, we'll meet you for lunch at the cafeteria at the center of all things. So, when?
Oh, you don't need to give a time. Just head there.
Okay, bye, Grandma.
Ciao. Your grandma's nice and a very powerful being.
Yeah, I know. She knitted me a playmate once.
Do you need assistance taking your luggage to your room?
No, we don't have any luggage.
I think it might be here already. I find I'm not laughing in the same spots as the laugh track. I guess we find different stuff funny.
Shut that thing off. And get off my bed.
This is a nice room. What a great view of us driving here.
I find that disconcerting.
What, the view out the window is an event from the past?
Yeah, I can't get used to that.
At least I don't care if past me sees me changing.
Listen, I have to rehearse for my talk. Why don't you go off and do touristy things?
Like what?
Don't they have a museum?
What kind of museum do they have in other dimensions?
I don't know, interactive ones?
Like for kids?
Maybe.
I wouldn't mind sticking my hand through time. I bet it feels squishy.
Yeah, go do that.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the Exploraria.
Take a key in case I leave here and do something better without you.
Will do. I hope they have that thing where I stand across the room and whisper into a parabola and my past self hears it.
This can't be right. This can't be right. Can't be right.
Science museums help me discover that my questions have answers I don't understand. And it's fun to turn cranks and press buttons. I feel like I work at an old-fashioned nuclear silo.
Ooh. What does the third dimension feel like from the fourth?
Since I'm not here in the fourth dimension very often, it'll be nice to see what my home dimension feels like from here. Insert dominant hand. Ooh, I wonder what they're seeing in the third dimension.
Hey. There's Lou's disembodied right hand. Ah, how about that?
And it's in your oatmeal, Don.
Hmm. What's going on there, right?
Oh, it feels squishy. I knew it.
Here's one. Feel the fifth dimension.
Nope, don't need that. I'm always feeling the fifth dimension.
Stick your head into a tiny universe.
Oh, it's like bobbing for planets. Oh, that was dumb. I didn't see anything.
Living sculpture.
Oh, I thought this was a science museum.
It is.
The sculpture talked.
I'm a living sculpture.
Oh, okay.
Art and science together.
Fun.
Wait, come back.
What do you want?
Aren't you intrigued?
Not really.
Why not? Look, I'm a living sculpture. Living, moving art, and yet I look like a naked statue.
Absolutely.
A rare thing.
Not where I come from.
What do you mean?
I mean, I come from a whole planet of living sculptures.
But not like me.
Not exactly like you, but we have one called Hans Conried who looks and talks like you.
Oh.
So, very cool. I have one at home.
What's it like being surrounded by science, art, magical creatures?
Super mixed.
You know me from your favorite old TV show, and I'm still living the years, but these fun days are a lot older these days, and so you, like I, have to think about Medicare supplements. And Help Friend is numero uno and top dog. Take it from me. Don't knock it till you rock it. Help Friend Medicare supplements for us oldies.
The Panorama Public Library is not just books, but fun rooms, four-dimensional printers, Sunday story time, and more. It's Panorama.
Man, I gotta stop procrastinating and work on my talk. It is on predeterminism, so there's nothing I can really do about the outcome. I might as well goof off. Maybe I'll take a nap. First, scan the sheets for fourth-dimensional residue. Looks clean. Three types of pillows, representing the three bear mattress types. And now to dream meditate.
Morning, Butchie.
Yep.
You have mail. Like an old-fashioned letter.
Where?
There, in your oatmeal.
Oatmeal? It must be from the fourth dimension.
Open it.
Yes. I have been invited to give a talk in the fourth dimension about how everything is happening at once.
Cool. Can I come with?
If you drive.
Deal.
Who is this man?
This is Colonel Spinoza.
Oh, hell no.
What is this?
Is this a Hogan's Heroes, Graham? I decline.
No, I think they just came from the TV. Did you guys just come from the TV?
I don't know.
No idea.
Guys, sit there quietly. We will.
Butchie, any ideas?
Maybe when the letter came from the other dimension, it did something to something.
Interesting theory.
I don't know, man. Maybe I'm dreaming.
Dreaming you were asked to give a talk at an interdimensional meeting?
It's the fourth dimensional Spinozium, where they come together to talk about various Spinozas.
Ah.
Maybe I'm making all this up in my dying brain.
Captain Spinoza, we have an alien ship on our proximity detectors.
Ah, we used to call them curb feelers. What nasty other are we encountering?
It looks like a hemorrhoid ship.
That has to be spelled differently.
Emerald. Or something.
Yeah, I thought so. Lasers on fun. Aim at will.
The alien ship is hailing us.
Excellent. All hail us.
Should we engage?
I don't know what any of that stuff means. What do they want?
Captain of the aggressor ship. State your purpose and prepare to be eliminated.
Hang up. Hang up on him. I don't have any room for poison people. Let's leave. Reverse engines in time and leave area.
Leaving area. Done, Captain.
Anything on screen?
No, he's gone.
Excellent. I'm gonna take a nap in the cabin made to look like a hotel room. Oh, the grapes and cherries of success.
It looks like you're doing pretty good there, buddy.
Do I know you?
Maybe you do, and maybe you don't.
I'm thinking I don't.
Yeah. Are you gonna keep trying your luck?
I sort of like to do this thing alone.
Yeah, I get that.
So, maybe I was thinking you could scram, see? Get out of here. Get lost. Pretend you were never born. Hey, I know a bridge you can jump off of, or a short pier. Or just, I'll tell you what, go pry open a manhole and walk into it. Thank you. Be seeing you.
You know, you're gonna regret not having me around.
I don't think so. I'm regretting not doing anything about it earlier.
Go ahead and pull the lever.
Is it really called a lever? And I'll pull it when I want to. All right, I'm gonna pull it. And it's pressing a button, by the way, not pulling.
What the heck?
Excuse me. I asked if you had the Royal Plum Westing Dingle Pipe Tobacco Blend. If so, I would like 3 ounces, please.
Yeah. Are you a member of our kindergarten class?
Yes, I am.
May I please see your Puff Pass card?
Here.
Hey, you have a 3 ounce of pipe tobacco coming. You want me to add a free one or deduct it from the 3 ounces of Royal Plum Westing Dingle, which we don't have?
I beg your pardon?
You heard me. We don't have your stupid Cavendish garbage. Get out. So tired of some of these customers, so-called. Get out of here. Man, I'm enjoying being asleep, but I can't move my neck. My arms, I think they've gone numb. I must be laying on the wrong firmness pillow. I feel completely numb. Am I really laying in a bed? I can't feel my body, I don't think. Am I in a body? Am I in a hotel? Where am I? I know where I am. I'm asleep. In a bed, somewhere. Floating in a capsule? Going around the moon. No, that's not right. Pittsburgh? Probably. I don't know where I am. I'm in bed. That's close enough. I wish I knew what kind of room the bed was in and where the room was. At least what hemisphere or what universe. Maybe I'm in another dimension. These are the kind of thoughts you have when you're in another dimension and your shoulders go to sleep because you slept funny. I'm sleeping funny. I do a lot of things funny. I think funny. I talk funny. I got a funny way of showing it. I'm gonna try to wake up now. Can't quite. I think I'll scream. Ha. Ha ha. I don't think you're supposed to go to sleep when you're in another dimension.
Well, hello, friend. I apologize for any trouble in advance. You see, we don't get many strangers around these parts, which you're not. And had I known that, I would not have called the police. Well, not the police. They're more like a vigilante group. We don't have police out here. But you know, they're very lazy, and the chances they'll actually come are slim. And by the time they get here, they'll see us loving one another and laughing and having joy, and they'll think that the stranger has gotten away. Well, I'll tell you, these parts have been mighty slow lately. No, they haven't. I don't want to sound too folksy. I've just come back from another dimension. I was sleeping, so I'm not sure if I was actually in the other dimension. Who knows? I'm very confused about my existence. Do you have that? I find Kafka is not even the tip of the iceberg as far as identity and feeling alien from yourself and from others. I think it goes way beyond that. I have woken up feeling not like a cockroach, but like something like a ball of energy. But not like that has a, that can get a lot of things done. Like, oh, I woke up, I was a ball of energy, I cleaned the house. I mean like some like wad lightning. I know that's not what it's called, is it ball lightning? Something like that. I mean literally just a chunk of glowing plasma. Not even a thing, really. Is it a thing? Is it alive? When I was growing up, we had shows like Star Trek and Twilight Zone and Make Believe Avenue, which was a local one.
And they all touched on very profound cultural, philosophical questions. You know, what is another life form? What is alive? What is a culture? If hippies were from another planet, wouldn't they be deadly? Wouldn't they be some kind of deadly suicide cult? And these are all questions that shows like Star Trek and Green Acres and all tried to address. Excuse me. Green Acres is a show created by Tristan Zara, and it was a spinoff of the Beverly Hillbillies, which was another, is to all these series of surrealist country shows. And, you know, and they all come from a surrealist. What's a surrealist country? I don't know, an absurd one. Maybe a Schmoland or something. I have to go look at the Three Stooges maps. I have a whole book, and it's just cartography from the Three Stooges. And so it'll have your Schmoland. It's, oh, they seem like puns, but they're real countries. I ran, you ran, she ran. They're all there. The story you get nowadays is not complete. And it is complete when it's inherited from the time of vaudeville. And what does that mean? We don't know. But there's a direct correlation between Zurich in the teens and vaudeville. And so we believe that Dada was an accident. That was a stand-up act or something, or somebody was twirling dishes and they got it all wrong and they mistook it for an art movement. Now, this has happened so many times on as themes have said, oh, I Love Lucy is doing, she's doing something so bad, a serious thing so bad, it's comedy. Comedy is like that. You just stumble upon it when you're trying to do something serious well and you end up just making brilliant comedy instead. You can't set out to do comedy. That's forced. Nobody likes that. You see that. I watch some of, there's a whole art form where people get on stage and go, they're trying too hard. They're trying to make me laugh. I mean, I look around me and people are doing it, but I'm thinking, I think they're making themselves laugh. It's like if you've ever been to a what do you call it when they hypnotize. Why couldn't I think of that? I've been hypnotized not to think of it. For a minute, I thought I was a chicken. And I couldn't think of the word hypnotized. But they hypnotize people. And really, it's self-hypnosis, isn't it? You can't be made to act like a chicken if you wouldn't act like a chicken if you were really super drunk or high. So if you can, the hypnotist is a sort of like human tab. And he's going to sit on your tongue metaphorically. And you're going, oh, I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to be disinhibited. But he's disinhibiting you through suggestion. Take your pants off. Like that, he does that. But don't do that. Don't you do that. You can if you want. If it's appropriate, I don't want you to get in trouble. There's nothing immoral about just taking your pants off. We have to do it to use the potty. You have to do it. I have to do it if I'm getting a new suit. They go, take your pants off. And I say, I beg your pardon. But they just mean that they need to, I'm not sure what they need to do. I have to put the new ones on. That's right. And then they measure them. Forget, it's been so long since I've been there. And that part I get, my head starts to spin. Because when my pants off, I feel like that means you're on the stage. I was about to go on to perform in New Jersey. I know this happens to everybody. And I was about to go on at the Monty Hall in WFMU, and I was downstairs, one of those downstairs bathrooms. And for some reason, for that year, I decided I will put on a costume because I want to make things even more difficult for myself. I'm going to dress up like a monk. I'm going to be doing a character. Oh, it's going to work. You'll see, I said to myself. So I was changing in the downstairs bathroom. And for a brief minute, I found myself completely nude in the downstairs bathroom. I'm not the only. I'm sure I'm not the only one. Not the first, not the last. People run around there naked all the time. So there's a contest they have. So who can find the oldest shirts nude? But I was down there and I thought, oh, I'm about to go up. Which feels worse, vulnerability-wise, having no clothes on or being on stage and sharing my art? having no clothes on by about a billion miles. So there you go. There you have it. Being on stage sharing my art, nothing humiliated. But I never feel humiliated because I'm like, this is the intellect and the work ethic that God gave me. What am I going to do about it? Warts and all. Here it is. Here's my half-hearted performance. It's not half-hearted, but you know what I mean. Here's my good solid C+ gift to you. But as far as like being, seeing my physicality and everything, that I am, you know, like everyone, I am completely and utterly ashamed of the human body. That's not true. No, that's not true. But gosh, no, I don't want anybody to, but I also am not, it's like your house. Here's how I feel about my body, the same way I feel about my house. If you gave me some time to just clean it up or something, or to gave me some time to straight, you know, to do some remodeling, I would need months maybe. Then I'd have you over. That's the way I look at it. But other than that, I'd rather you not. Can we meet somewhere else? And that's what clothes are. So I say, we're meeting somewhere else right now. In my physical form, I gotta feel good about it. Now you should, no matter what you look like, right? So I'm gonna work on that. I don't really care. I'm just saying this. I have to pretend to care because I have to live amongst people. And so I do. I take on their ways. But really, I'm from another planet. Aren't you? Aren't we all? You should. What about people claim to be from another planet? Are they really? I don't know. I feel like that about people claim to be like, where are you from? I'm from Iowa. Are you, though? Because you're about the sixth one. That doesn't make any sense. That's a lot of people. A lot of people are leaving Iowa or something. No, they wouldn't lie about that. Friends, oh, I'm from Owensboro. And also Danny is from Owensboro. Oh, you wouldn't. I know you're not lying. Why would you brag on that? Because I'll tell you why. Because Johnny Depp and Florence Henderson are from there, Owensboro, Kentucky. And they go back and they host Johnny Depp Florence Henderson Day Parade, which is a big deal there. And it's fun. They have rook tournaments, play cards, and I don't know, you know, I think they got Florence Henderson. Wasn't she in Shakes the Clown? So I think Bobcat comes in for that. And he hosts a whole thing, a tasting, some kind of cheese tasting. I don't even know. But it's a wonderful event. I like when whole cities turn out. I remember, I time travel a lot. And I remember Sodom having a great festival, like a big street festival. It'd be pedestrian only. I know you're going like, well, you're shocked. But see, the sin of Sodom was actually just being super duper selfish and everything like that. But that does not mean that they didn't even have killer festivals, because they're sort of Epicurean in a way like that. It's just that you could take that to the extreme, right? It becomes decadent. But short of that, it's like, what if the Fry Festival was successful and everybody had lobster? And that's more what we're talking about. So there's great, great festivals and street food in Sodom. And just lovely. And you wouldn't think there'd be things for children. You'd say, oh, that can't be possible. But it was a whole town and everything. And they had a children's theater troupe that would do, you'd think they'd do Bible stories, but it was too early for that. So they had to do myths. Sodomite myths is what they call them. Excuse me. Somebody just did something funny over here. You get away there, you silly. There's, we have a, I'm renting out space to some cartoonists. Not even the animated kind. I mean, they just do, they're trying to get into the funny papers, trying to break in. And they're not super funny people. But one of them just made me smile because he opened the wrong end of the Pringles can. He tried to use, had to use a can opener on it because he opened the bottom. And I don't call people idiots or anything like that. I think that's just I don't know what that is. I don't know. He doesn't think is what my grandfather used to say about me. You just don't think. I go, what do you mean? That's awfully general. I think what you mean is I don't think about the right things. I go, yeah, I don't think, and maybe I don't think in a timely manner. say no. Oh, my gosh. I don't mind living in the present, and I don't mind living in this dimension. And you'll notice in the beginning of the show that Butchie went running off to another dimension to give a talk about how everything is happening at once. Now, that's fine. That's part of a grand tradition. Now, I don't know. I can't tell you his beliefs exactly. I imagine if there's a... Well, he's not the real Spinoza, so he doesn't have the premise if there's an all-knowing, all-powerful God, then he is and controls everything, and therefore it's all part of him, and therefore there's no... Nothing can be. That there is naught but God's will. And so... There is not but the momentum of the universe. There's not but the first cause and its children. That's what he always says. Butchie always says. I don't know what he's going to say to the crowd. He does a some kind of joke about cupcakes. The first kind, licking frosting on cupcakes, and then one of them being a prank and it being spackle. So I don't know if he's going to open with that or what. He's a strange cat, man. He really, really is. And I love him. I love people who are different than me. Sometimes I feel like, oh, he's so aggressive, you know. He's so angry all the time. But that's okay. I mean, it's things to be angry about. Why wouldn't you be angry just being alive? And I don't mean to sound like a bratty child, but, you know, he would say, you know, I didn't ask to be born, and I didn't. I know I didn't. I'm positive. I can prove it mathematically. Because I didn't exist, I don't think. I know I didn't, because if you ask me who I am, I'm going to just give you a bunch of facts about my past and everything like that, or descriptions about, you know, the history of this physical form that I am in. But pre that, there couldn't be any pre that, Hardy. Yours is just your essence. What is my essence? My horoscope or something?
You have an inclination to compassion.
Oh, just like a love fart or something. That's not a person. Person is all the details of their life and everything. And that doesn't happen until they experience the details of their life. And up to that point, are they anybody? So I don't know. I think we have this idea that there is some sort of ghost entity. Maybe there is. I don't know. I've never experienced that. I'm one of these brains with things going on in it. I'm just a book. I'm all bookheaded, organic bookhead thing, where it's just all written in my head. If there's anything beyond that, I do not know. Oh, sometimes I will sit on my front porch, and I will look up to the sky, and I will think I need to go in the backyard if I'm going to see the stars. And I go in the backyard, and I look up to the sky, and I say, ah, there, now I can see some celestial bodies. And I look up there and I think, oh, how tiny those stars that are huge and very far away aren't. And the next thought that occurs to me is, do they form a pattern? Do they look like a Greek wielding a sword? Or do they look like a lion who's about to cough up a hairball? What does it look like? A ladle? All those things that are not on the same plane. They're not dots. This isn't two dimensions in the sky. That's three dimensions seen from a specific angle, an angle that you can't change because of where you are and the lengths involved. So if you moved a little to the right or left, it doesn't really change how they look. But it's three-dimensional dots you're looking at. You're not looking at it. So extrapolate to the fourth dimension, my friend Hardy. So the show and your feelings that you're experiencing during the show or by listening to me say certain things or talk to you and talking about the human heart and talking about memories and wishing and dreaming and where we go and we sort of drift off and we don't know where we are when we're faced with futile situations. Where do we go? What do we think? And I submit to you
some answers in an envelope, and I'm going to mail them to you, and I want you to look at them, but days later. Because this conversation, this show, must be sent out there and must be confused in time. It must be in a place where you don't know what's come first, this one or another one. And everything I say becomes a jumble, and no specific thing or no specific word stands out to you. And you just hear my voice and have a feeling. That's what we're going for. I want a relationship with you, my friend, the way that I have with all other creatures, and that is they just hear the tone of my voice and respond. My dogs do that, my family. They're not really listening to what I'm saying because they're thinking, probably Hardy's talking about something that's not crucial. Because look at him. Look at his expression. It doesn't look important. And it's true. If I was like, there's a fire, you'd see it in my face and you'd listen. But normally my face says, your attention is optional. All I want is your love. So just all I want you to do is, endure me. Could you endure me? That's the root of the word endearing. Someone is endearing if you endure them and they're dear to your heart. You want them around like a dog. I want that. Oh, my gosh. I want to not hear what you're saying, the content of what you're saying, so that my loyalty and my love will be unconditional. I think that about my dog. I think if you could hear my opinions, would you still be my dog? Or would you go off and say, I feel more comfortable with somebody else? All right, so be it. I heard what you were saying the other day about some social ills. And I really feel like our things don't line up. I know that's a lot of... Something that's on minds, I think, is... Would this person like me if they knew me? The other day I'm watching not G.I. Joe, what do you call him? Gomer Pyle. Gomer Pyle, G.I. Joe, I think it's called. There's other... Gomer Pyle SMDR, it's called.
Golly!
And I'm watching this Gomer Pyle, and Gomer Pyle gets his friend, comes on, this other Marine's like, I'm from Carolina, I'm from North Carolina too. And they're best friends, and they're talking, they're all sharing stuff about North Carolina and really cartoonish pronunciations of things and everything. And then they're there, and somebody comes up, and they go, hey, is Pyle, and the guy, Governor Pyle's with us. Pyle, your last name's Pyle? He goes, yeah, my last name's Pyle. And he goes, Pyle, I'm a, I don't know, he said a name. I don't know, Mizrahi. No, okay, that's probably not it. They say, oh, the Mizrahis and the Pyles have been feuding for generations. I hate you, he says to Gomer. And Gomer, you know how innocent Gomer is, and possibly, I don't know, bless his heart. I love him so. Hug me, Gomer. He's vulnerable. That's why we love him, because he's vulnerable. Puts himself out there, and there's something up. So, that feeling is something we all sort of dread, right? Why are you liking me for the right reason? Are you going to find out something about me where then you suddenly hate me? And what about human beings that they can be capable of suddenly hating? I could find something about you that I can't get over, and now I don't like you. I can't love you. That's startling, isn't it? And it maybe it prevents us from being honest with one another. Or I don't know what happens. Or you got to, well, let's get it out all in front so we can hate immediately. I don't know what to make of it. I've managed to talk around it, you know, before. Like if you're in a cab and you think, well, I'm gonna have to say things but not commit because I don't want to be, I don't know, I don't want to be killed, or I don't know what's going to happen if someone's got in a power position over me. Sometimes you have to agree. Right? Somebody's driving something it might be a bad time to be confrontational. So you go, oh, yeah, okay, you got a point there.
And that's difficult. But if we have to go around in our lives, though, where our love is contingent on our opinions or who we are inside, oh, what kind of world's that? Wouldn't you be angry? So I'd be angry as Butchie Spinoza all the time if everybody was sort of a slave to their prejudice, you know, to their expectations, that they were so desperate, so eager to alienate. So I don't really give my... do I have opinions? Do I? I may. I do. Do I? Yes. I've got some. I don't have them about things that require lots of specifics. I have general opinions. I have some that are fairly provocative. What's your most dangerous opinion? Oh man, it's pretty bad. Because, you know, people go, oh, ha, 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 ha. Well, that we can't live in a world like that. But I don't think any one person has authority over another one. So I'm passionately anti-authoritarian. So I don't know if that's bad. I don't know if that's good or bad. So you don't think... No, gosh, I don't know. Is that bad? I almost don't feel it with creatures, too. I don't like, you know, I just generally don't like bullies. I don't like strength used to control or oppress. And thank goodness that I'm an all-powerful being who controls the universe. Otherwise, I would feel just like a driven leaf. Can you imagine how vulnerable would you feel if you just realized how fragile everything is and how fickle all the human hearts are? Oh, love, we talk about love. We name our boats after love. Everything is love. We sing about love. We make art for love, but what do... You know, it's like, gosh, you know, do we know anything about it? No. But let me tell you something I do know about is various television shows. And I watch them, and I find out so much about human beings. And then I act like those human beings that I see. So please forgive me if I think that I am a surgeon in North Korea that's really in Vietnam or something. I watch that. I've been watching these old shows because I want to try to have an out-of-body experience where I'm suddenly a little kid again so I can talk to all the adults and warn them about the future. So maybe I'll literally go back in time and be my 7-year-old self and walk into the living room and say, listen, you all have to listen to me. I know this sounds crazy, but there will come a time. And then I will start to say all these things that are going to happen in the future, a lot of which I will have forgotten. Saying, what year is Reagan president? I don't know. Let me think. Just 80? So, yeah, that's the thing about time travel is you think, oh, my memory, I should have taken notes. Because I really don't make any money, so you must make money on the stock market and horse races. Oh, yeah, think about that. I'm sending you back to 1985. What stock do you buy? What horse do you bet on? So, well, one of you will know the stock because you're an old timer or something. I lost a lot of money in 85. What'd you invest in? Something. I don't remember. Fax machines? I don't know. There might have been a little sweet spot there. I opened a VCR store. That would have been the time. That doesn't seem like a crazy thing. Oh, the times are changing. The times, they are evolving. And the times, they are evolving. Times, they are evolving. Every time I look out the window, I see things are different than before. All of them are made of time. It's dissolving like it's sugar in oil. Oh, let's be friends until everything ends, because it will eventually. If it's not going to end, everything is not going to end, but it will for you. So that's like the world ending. So isn't that interesting? Everybody gets a little tiny little end of the world, little personalized end of the world. That's what it's like. Your death is like a personalized end of the world. You know, it's the end of the world, Hardy. You know, Hardy. It's time to, where everything, no more cafes, Hardy. You will not see your favorite dog, Cookie, or Orwell, like that. Oh, this is just for me. My own little ultimate tragedy. The end of everything. So dark. Is it dark? I like to look. The only way I conquered my fears when I was a little kid was getting out of bed, taking my pajamas off, and crawling under the bed naked, saying, I'm going to eat you monsters, like that. And then the monsters got afraid of me. And now I crawl around in the dark, and things are afraid of me. Ideas are afraid of me. My death is afraid of me. Loneliness is afraid of me. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it is. Confusion is locked up here with me. I'm perfectly at home now with swimming around on the edge of oblivion. That's where I swim and live. I don't have to go on forever. I can't conceive of it anyway. Forever is like being given more of a thing than you ever use. It's like, guess what? You now own 4 garages full of sugar. That's nice. Can I sell it? No, you have to use it. Well, I can't use it, and I can't use that much, so it's pointless. I have overabundance of a thing. Ooh, I only can use what I can use. It's so good to spend these moments with you. How much time do you have? It doesn't matter. It matters what you're doing. Do things. Be adventurous now. Think crazy. I'm going to cower the whole time I'm here. No, at least there's so many ways to not jeopardize your well-being, to not jeopardize your freedom and self-express. And the only thing that you can possibly lose is your dignity. And I'm telling you, you can't lose that, because you can put that in a special safe. It's up your butt somewhere, metaphorically. It's in the deepest recesses of your soul bowels. No one can ever get to it. It's a little safe, and you stick it in there, and you spin the lock. That's your inner dignity. That is your spirit of life. That is the thing that nothing can degrade unless you say it can be degraded. And then you can do whatever you want. Say, laugh at me. I shall be the clown. Have you ever embarrassed yourself trying to help? You know, when you help somebody, say, I'm going to be noble. And you do something and they don't need help, or you've misread a situation and you just feel like a complete arse bargain. Arse bargain? Is that anything? And there you go. And you cringe when you think that. So what? If you were, let's say you were, God was going on vacation. You had to be just a sort of benevolent God or all-powerful. Imagine how much stuff you just let slide. You'd be going, I can't believe people beating themselves up about that. Like, I don't care. You'd be yelling at people all the time. Can you hear me? God, send me a message. Yes, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Stop beating yourself up. My goodness. Here. Give yourself a hug. I'm going to just, today I'm taking a me day, but I have to go to work anyway. So what I'll do is I'll just take it internally, maybe. And I said, why do you seem so happy? I don't know, man. I just thought I'd try it out today. I'm doing it as an act of aggression. I'm doing it as an act of subversion. I'm going to be happy at this miserable job. Because I've decided not to be miserable.
about it. I'm going to be aggressively, and then I'll make y'all fire me for, like, being too weirdly happy. And then you'll see how twisted your system is. I'll go hungry, but I will have made a wicked great point, right? You're owned by this supercut. I always see that in the online and say, a problem has been solved. The wicked have been defeated by some amazing video editing. So they have been, Hitler's gone. He evaporated because of this supercut of contradiction. They made a film of him contradicting himself and he just poof. And that's the power of video editing, film editing, and that goes back decades to the Romans who were doing it on slate, doing that with, can you imagine? Even before plastics and petroleum and everything, the Romans doing everything just with different types of very thin rock, like mica. They would use mica as photographic film. That's why those old Roman pictures look a kind of a weird color. Because it's a different kind of film now. Now, I'm not sure that's true. Hey, in fact, I'm just teasing. Oh my gosh, if you're a student, don't go to school and repeat that. I'd be mortified. Hardy told me. I did. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm going to call the teacher up right now. I was just funning on the radio. I did not think the child was going to be listening. I will be more responsible now about all the stupidity that comes out of my mouth. I don't think about it half the time. I think I'm being funny. And then I'm really passing on something horrible. Or even, like you pointed out, sir, evil. I don't feel evil, really. I guess I could be. I don't know. One person's evil is another person's distasteful. Or something like that. I really don't know. I'm glad I'm not... I don't have to judge. They make you. They drag you to jury duty. And I go through all sorts of... It's not that I don't want to do my civic duty. It's just that I do not want to do my civic duty. Nor do I want to put myself in a position of judging others. Well, surely someone has to. Go for it. I'm not, you know... If you don't beat that horse, who will? You know what? If I'm not there, I can't stop you. So I don't want you to be cynical. No, I don't believe... Oh, gosh. I make myself sad with my own... Is it negativity? No. Oh, my goodness. I don't think it is. I'm out there all the time not doing anything. But I'm trying to be... I'm practicing my love on just right now and just people I know. Immediate. And then it's going out there. I'm getting it out more and... You know, when you practice a sport, let's say you're bowling more frequently than usual, and you see how your average creeps up, it creeps up slowly. I'm doing that with my compassion. It's creeping up. I'm not a 300 bowler. And sometimes if I don't work at it, if I don't go bowling, my average creeps back down again. You know, I'm not out there getting strikes in every frame. And I'm still the type of bowler that if you get 3 strikes in a row, you have to buy everybody a beer. I don't drink beer, so I don't bowl anymore because of that. I go, what's the free beer going to do for me? And they say, well, there's other reasons to bowl. It's bowling is just its own reward sometimes. And the smells and the sights and the sounds and the way your thumb goes completely and utterly numb and then you have to have surgery. Those things are attractive to me, and they're part of my history, and I grew up doing that, and I grew up in bowling alleys because why didn't I grow up in the bowling? I'm thinking that now. Why didn't we live anywhere? No, we did. We went to the bowling alley as recreation. But what I mean by growing up there is the parents drop you off, and then they never come back. And then you live in the back. I guess you live in the back with the parents. That was my fantasy. I lived at home. But I was like, maybe they dropped me off there. And then when the bowling alley closed, I could bowl all night. When I found out Nixon had his own private bowling alley lane in the basement of the White House, I was like, no wonder this guy doesn't ever want to leave office. I don't blame him. I'd lie and cheat and steal and everything too. Gosh, your own bowling alley. If now I find out there was a pool table there too, psh, I got to rethink this whole thing. Maybe I would have done the same thing. I always think that about morality. When I see somebody did something horrible, I go, oh, but for the what? I say, but for the grace of God. Grace of God and what? Must have other stuff too, though. What got me out of, what ancestor did a favor or something that got me out of this horrible fate? I can see at times in my life where I could have been a real, had real bad consequences for my anger or my self-loathing or something. When you're an enemy of your, to yourself, which I was for a long time, then you're a nuisance to other people. And so the best thing I did was get right with myself, and then I could love others. And then I had more friends. Do people like being around you? And they, whether they should or shouldn't, I don't know. But it helps if you're like a chill person. And that comes with this beautiful combination of self-love and not giving a hoo-ha. And there can be, you mix them all up, I guess. You temper one with the other. You know, I do. At least this, and just I've immersed myself in a Zen monastery for 10 years. No, not at all. No, I'm kidding. No, I was very lonely when I lived in Atlanta, though. So I think I made a lot of spiritual gains through grief and depression, and say, oh, I'm gonna wrestle with some demons. I've been in the demon wrestling business for a long time, sort of amateur. You know, and the demons are the heels, and I'm Hardy White, and I'm gonna bring the law. That's what I always say. I'm gonna bring it to them. I'm gonna bring the nutrition to those demons. Demons, watch out. This is Hardy. Look here. I'm saying, look at this mighty physique I have. I've been given this strength. I'm gonna step into the ring with you, demon. I'm not afraid. I'm afraid I'm not afraid. I don't know. I'm mostly bored. That's what I am. I'm bored. I'm going to fight these demons. I don't even care if I win or not. That's why I'm going to win. But you, demon, you are fixated on defeating me. And that's going to exhaust your energy supply. And when it does, I'm going to grab you by your demon head, and I'm going to twist, and I'm going to twist until you go to sleep. And then when you're asleep, I'm going to give you that kind of in your sleep suggestion. I'm going to stick your thumb in warm water, and you're going to, first you're going to pee the ring, and that's going to be, and you'll be embarrassed. I wouldn't be embarrassed. I don't care. I'll pee the ring. I'll do it on purpose. Then you can't use it against me. I'm here to battle, demon. I'll battle yours too. Step inside the ring. Come on now. Torment and find out. That's what I say. That's me wrestling demons. I'm just funning. I hope I didn't scare anybody or anything. I was just pretending. It's me, Hardy. I'm back. I don't want to scare you or anything. Besides, you know, I don't mean to, this is going to be disappointing to some people, but this is all Butch's dream. I know that sounds weird. You say, how can that be? Well, this is how I'll prove it.
I'm dreaming, Hardy White. Missed me? I think I'm in the fourth dimension.
If this is all my dream, and I dreamed Hardy's entire show, is it possible that I've always been dreaming his entire show? Is there no Hardy White? Is there only Baruch Spinoza?
You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and New York City, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. Thank you for joining me. Or thank you for joining Butchie. Shemp job, everyone.
Standing at the crossroads. My friends, just before our Lord was to be crucified, he made a departing speech to his disciples in John chapter 15 through verses 13 and 16, and it reads as follows. Greater love, says Jesus, has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. In the 18th verse, Jesus says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you, unquote. Oh yes, my friends, this is the Lord's departing speech, and that is why I know that God is my friend. Listen now while we sing this song this day. God is my friend.
That's what the Bible says.
God is my friend.
He's with me day by day.
God is my friend.
He leads me all the way.
He's been with me through thick and thin.
Because God is my friend.
God is my friend. There's no other friend like him. He gave his life to save humanity. He conquered the grave to set our sins so free. God is my friend because he suffered and died for me. God is my friend.
That is what the Bible says.
God is my friend.
He's with me day by day.
God is my friend.
He leads me all the way.
He's been with me through thick and thin.
Because God is my friend.
A very long time ago, this world was dying in sin. God searched the heavens and the earth, but could not find a friend. He prepared a body. He knew something had to be done. God is my friend because he sent his only son. God is my friend.
That is what the Bible says.
God is my friend.
With me day by day.
God is my friend.
He leads me all the way.
He's been with me through thick and thin.
Because God is my friend.
This is Clarence Campbell, CC, the powerful voice of the gospel. You're tuned to Sinner's Crossroad Gospel Broadcast on Listen Supporters Free Farm, WFMU. Stay tuned for more beautiful gospel music here on Sinner's Crossroad. You'll be blessed.
The Christian.